believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, with a love for learning. She earned a bachelor's degree from Sarah Lawrence University, a master's from Harvard, and a doctorate from Ohio University. She became a teacher and has been an educator for more than 35 years. In March 2007, she was named the superintendent of the Detroit Public School System. Her name, Dr. Connie Calloway. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us, on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Crisula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with Dr. Connie Calloway. Doctor, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you very much, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Yes, Jack. I was the second of four siblings born to Lawrence and Naomi Kennedy. They lived at different corners of the same street, Woodland Avenue in Bessemer, Alabama. My parents grew up, their families knew each other for ages, and my father had decided he would marry my mother from the time they were in high school. They married and were struggling, as were most African-American families in the South, particularly in the towns that used to be either train stations or coal towns. They then migrated north, bringing part of the family and then bringing the other siblings along later. And they migrated to Cleveland, Ohio. One of my most intense memories is moving from Alabama to Cleveland on the segregated trains. There were cars that were reserved for African Americans where they did not have facilities, they didn't serve food, and asking my parents questions about those. And then their comments were always, shh, until they could get in a family gathering. Once that was done, my parents taught me social justice. They always said that no one defines who you are. And they would explain these situations, and in that lesson would be how I should respond to the situations and my obligation to work as I grew older and became an adult to change those situations. Once we arrived in Cleveland, Ohio, they searched for employment. My dad ended up working for the city and my mom for the post office. I went through the Cleveland Public Schools, very much like the Detroit Public Schools. The social dynamics in the cities and the economics were about the same. And from the Cleveland Public School system, I then went on to college. And we had a pretty normal middle-class family. Didn't know that we were might be considered poor. We were very happy, church-going family, very closely knit.
What were the biggest things your mom and dad taught you?
My parents, first of all, demonstrated a profound love for one another and a respect for the family unit, which is the foundation of our society. They also taught the value of discussing things in the family. My father had the sense of humor. My mother was stern. And you learn where to go to negotiate between the two of them, but then realize that every night when you heard that murmuring, they were discussing everything that had happened during the day, and they presented a united front. So I really learned what family, what loyalty, what love is. We were taught to care for our siblings. If one of us had a babysitting job, we were required to come home and split the money four ways, even with the sibling who was too young to babysit. So we learned teamwork. We learned cooperativeness. We learned social justice. We learned to, in quiet ways, to stand up for our rights and to love learning.
When the Cleveland Indians win the World Series in a couple weeks, do all the kids get an extra day off in this school system?
I think it's a good idea.
Where did you ever get your love for learning?
Well, I can remember, Jack, in the South, we were required from the earliest memory to recite a Bible verse. And you know, there weren't these laws about child abuse then. So if you didn't know your verse, your knuckles got rapped. And I decided at an early age it was better to learn than to have my knuckles tapped. So I was reading before I went to school and totally enjoyed it. And during this summer, my mom told us, you don't need to work outside the house. There's enough to in the family. So I was paid a very modest allowance for teaching my younger sisters to read. And I absolutely loved watching their vocabulary expand, watching them take books off the shelves. And since I had no idea what was grade appropriate, I gave them whatever they were interested in, and we were all reading well beyond our years. Our parents read to us. They read the paper. We went to the library as a family before African Americans were even issued library cards. That my parents taught us that if you learn something, no one can take that away from you, and you are free if you know who you are and whose you are.
Dr. Calloway, can you teach a child to love to learn?
Absolutely, Jack. I believe that you need to find what that child is interested in and give that child something where they are not just learning in one dimension, but they are multi-dimension. They're involved in it. They're hands-on. They are seeing how it transfers into lifelong experiences. It is an absolutely teachable skill to love learning.
You got a bachelor's from Sarah Lawrence University, a master's from Harvard, and then a doctorate from Ohio University.
Yes,
can you talk
Jack.
About that experience?
Well, Jack, my parents taught the four girls that before you can get married, you have to have a college degree. And we didn't know any different. So, you know, if you wanted to have a boyfriend, you had to have a degree. That trick worked until we were up in about the 11th grade. By then, we were all bitten by the love for learning. As a matter of fact, my mom brought the catalog home from Sarah Lawrence and said, this looks like the kind of place that you would like. It's small classes, independent thinking, lots of field work. I loved Sarah Lawrence College. From there, I went to Harvard, and from there to OU, and did all of these degrees in 3 or 2 years. It was a wonderful experience, Jack.
We're talking to Dr. Connie Calloway, the superintendent of the Detroit Public School System. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Crisula.
We're talking to Dr. Connie Calloway, who was a teacher in Cleveland, Boston, in East Cleveland. Doctor, how was it you ever decided to become a teacher?
Actually, Jack, when I went off to college, I wanted to become an attorney. But there were so many half-truths that I had to accept to go into the law field, it was just a challenge for me. my junior year in college at Sarah Lawrence, I took a year off and traveled abroad. And everywhere I went, in Europe, in Africa, there were two professions that were needed and that were revered, and that was medicine and teaching. And everywhere I go, I was able to teach. I didn't need a medical bag or any additional tools. I could read the magazines or tell people where to sign or what this contract meant or when the train schedule was. And it occurred to me that I was helping everywhere that I went. I'd already become bitten with teaching, as I said, during the summer when I taught my younger sister, who's 8 years younger, how to read, and she entered school at a third grade reading level. So I knew I could do that. And when I saw it was needed all over the world, it just hit me. This is what I want to do.
Dr. Calloway, what makes a great teacher?
I think a great teacher for me is there is an intrinsic reward that in both of these circumstances that I spoke of, I wasn't getting any wages or benefits or any huge salary, but there was something in knowing that you had set the intellect free in someone else, that they then could reason and decide and make choices. Also, because in school, you always think of this proverbial picture of a group of children falling off the cliff, and that represented public school. And I thought, well, I could save those children who are falling off the cliff. I'll become a reading teacher and teach them to read. And once I got into reading, even back in the 70s, so many children, their literacy skills were so poor. We just didn't have the MEEP test or state test. So once I started teaching, it wasn't a group of children falling off. It was hundreds. And I found that as a classroom teacher, I couldn't save them all, and I decided I need to be on top of the cliff making the decisions that were pushing children off. So I wanted to take my teaching skills, couple that with administration, and go into principalship and then superintendencies so I could help shape and influence the decisions that impact the lives of so many thousands of children. Even in the role as superintendent, I believe that my most credible asset is my ability to teach, whether it's teaching the governing board, teaching parents, teaching a radio audience who are faithful to Jack, whomever is teaching about the need for public education in order to continue a society that we have enjoyed for 2,007 years.
Should a person today still consider a career in teaching?
Yes, they should. But I have to be honest, Jack, that there are so many other choices that are more attractive, and there are so many more challenges than when we entered the field of teaching. When I entered the field of teaching, a teacher was as respected as a minister. A student would never think of cursing or hitting a teacher. And that has to do, in my opinion, Jack, with the laxity in the adult culture. We've allowed these. We permit them. We accept them. So I do think one can still enter the field of teaching, but you have to be willing to teach not only the children, but every stakeholder who touched the lives of those children to make sure that the education becomes paramount.
I recall the one time I came home and told my dad that a teacher hit me. Mm-hmm. That was the last time I ever came home and told my dad.
That teacher hit you. Yes, they had that right to correct you.
What's the biggest thing, Dr. Calloway, you've learned in 35 years as an educator?
That we still must stick to the basics, both in terms of the content we teach. It has to be lifelong skills, transference, the mathematics, the literacy skills, and the science help to make us more beneficial, more prosperous, more productive adult citizens. And also, I've learned that the resources used to always go into the classroom. Nowadays, the biggest trade or expense, if you will, is buildings and textbooks. It still works. The heart of education is instruction. It is what takes place in the classroom. And we have to protect at all costs to make sure that the resources that are available to schools are in the classroom. The best, the most highly qualified teacher, the technology that the students need, whatever literacy skills or language immersion skills, that has to be our first priority for all resources in spending.
For decades in this town, in this area, there was a belief that you don't need an education. Just let dad or uncle get you a job with the big three. You're set for life.
And I would like to ask you, Jack, and the audience in Detroit, do you ever think that might have anything to do with where we are in terms of employment now, where we stand as a state in Michigan, in terms of our employment compared to the rest of the nation, where we stand in terms of our income level, or where we stand in terms of the percentage of students who graduate or drop out of school? Maybe this culture that all we need is whatever is owing a blue-collar worker is sufficient. Perhaps that's catching up with us, Jack, and we need to change that culture so that any Michigan student is competitive with any American or international student in terms of their language skills, their literacy skills, their science. Maybe we need to rethink that dynamic and look at its economic impact over the past 40 or 50 years.
What's the key, Dr. Calloway, to convince everybody of the value, of the necessity of great education today?
If I had that answer, Jack, I think I would be wealthy. The best that I can do is to position myself as an example. I am the first college graduate in my family. Becoming superintendent wasn't even in my world, my scope of career possibilities. But here I am, and I can present myself as an example of someone who is the first college graduate and look at the difference that it has made in my family, in my ability to contribute to my family, in my ability to be a contributing citizen and taxpayer in Detroit. There is no one answer, and I think that we all have to strive to find what is that answer that would convince everyone that an education really is the key to a successful and productive future.
We're talking to Dr. Connie Calloway. When we come back, we'll ask her why she took on arguably the most challenging job in this area, the superintendent of the Detroit Public Schools. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Dr. Connie Calloway, who up until recently had been the superintendent of a 5,700 student system in Normandy, Missouri. You get a call. Are you interested in this superintendent of Detroit Public Schools? Why did you ultimately take it?
Actually, Jack, I got a letter, and I chuckled, laid the letter aside. And have you ever had an experience, Jack, or anyone in the audience, where you put something out of sight, but you couldn't put it out of mind? And some people may be offended if I say I felt that it was God calling me and saying, you were prepared for this, Connie. You've been through this experience, you have a kindred experience with the citizens of Detroit. Cleveland has been like a sister city in its problems and its challenges and its growth. I couldn't put the letter out of mind. I actually called and said, you know, that I really wasn't interested, and I was encouraged to proceed with the application. I came for the interview, decided I really wasn't interested, and tried to fly back out of Detroit. Couldn't get a flight. This is everything worked to focus me on Detroit. And then I started to think, Jack, 116,000 students. Why not Detroit? If I knew whose I was and who I was and had gone through Sarah Lawrence, Harvard, OU, my God, and each of these, I mean, finished my PhD in 2 years, what was that preparation for? Was it just so that I could be comfortable and happy in Normandy? Or was this whole issue of social consciousness that my parents taught me, was this payback time for Connie Calloway? And I couldn't get around that. Everything worked. I mean, the city had to have selected me, and they did. And I'm here, and this is my town now. And I'll do the best that I can for as long as I'm allowed to. What has surprised me, Jack, is the number of staff here in the district who are so willing and able. They want to be shown a better way. They want to learn how to disaggregate data, how to make effective teaching, how to identify those variables and improve the classroom. It's the staff who are here in the schools that are marvelous. That's been my best bonus. And the students.
Well, with each passing month that you are here, more and more people are convinced you're the right person for this job. We're talking to Dr. Connie Calloway, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Dr. Connie Calloway, the superintendent of the Detroit Public Schools. Doctor, in the short time you've been here, every time you've talked to the press, it's deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would say. It's what I care about, what I focus on, is the children. It's all about the children. Expound on that.
You know, Jack, if we were working in a cigar factory, our priority would have to be tobacco. If we were making airplane parts, We would have to be concerned about the price of metal. The business of schools is children, and we get distracted from that so often because the client, the student, isn't able to vote, so they can't influence any political arena, and they don't have a dollar, so they can't influence anything financially. But I'd never understand stealing from a future, our future, to cushion the nest of our present. And children represent our future. Everything we've ever read, from the Bible to any other, Dr. Phil or Oprah, whoever one wants to listen to, will tell us that we invest in our future through our children. I firmly believe I am a product of that. I saw parents who had, one of them a high school education, work two jobs and invest to make sure each of us have gone to college. Our parents are comfortable now. One's deceased and left here happy and comfortable, and the other is very comfortable. I've seen the dynamic over and over where an education makes the difference, not only in the life of a child, but of that family and then exponentially that community. I believe in the family unit and the value of education, and children are the key. This is the place, schools, where children are supposed to be the priority and respected. And I believe that everyone's here should have that priority or should move on.
What's your plan, Dr. Calloway, to turn the Detroit public school system around?
I alone don't have a plan, Jack, but I'm certainly, I had ideas when I came here, and two of those ideas were a common language of achievement, and the second was good governance. Governance meaning that those of us who are in the decision-making key positions in the district speak as one body. We come to conclusions and decisions about what's best for children, and then we all commit ourselves to that. I think that the community has witnessed that. I'm told that since July, each board meeting has improved on the last. Our last board meeting, we accomplished all of our business within about 2 hours. We still had community comments, and it was orderly, and the public applauded. The public was wonderful. Our leadership, that's good governance, a common language of achievement. If we say McDonald's, everyone sees a golden arch in their mind. If we say Nike, we see that check. What do we see when we say student achievement? There are as many different pop-up screens as there are different people. What our job is in the Detroit Public Schools is to create a common pop-up screen that is equal to or synonymous with student achievement. And that's what we're working on now, to speak the same language, to get people to understand what's required of our young people, and to make data-based decisions. And the staff of DPS is buying into that. We make those kinds of decisions, what's good for the children, based on Detroit data that's right there that we can interpret, disaggregate, and understand.
As I've researched for tonight, when you give a speech, when you answer a question, it's always positive. You say, I don't break down anything. I want to build cooperative bridges. I'm not going to attack anything. I'm going to work to create an environment with a language and the priorities all centered around students and their achievements.
You know, Jack, an employee came to me one day, and he was a supervisor, complained about the staff, about the office, about the equipment, and I said, what are your solutions? And his mouth dropped. He didn't have any. And I said to him, why don't you work to create the environment that you want to live in? And I see the glass is half full. No day is guaranteed to us, Jack. Every day we wake up and the sun is shining out there, it's a new day. There's never been an October the 17th, 2007. It's all a promise, a gift of the present. And I do see it as half full, and I do work towards that, because whatever the end of the journey may be, I will be judged and weighed by what I did along the way. And it is a half full glass, and I am positive. And I've found that you can get people's cooperation, and people will own an idea and work towards that. And I've seen that already happen in the Detroit public schools, and that is the way I approach.
Dr. Calloway, we've been losing 10,000 students per year for each of the last 10 years. How do we reverse this awful trend?
Well, the projection, Jack, was that we would lose another 10,000 this year and be under 100,000 students. But as of to date, the unofficial enrollment count is 107,000 students and climbing. I believe, as Dr. King so often said, if you build a better mousetrap, As insignificant and humble as a mousetrap is, the whole world will be a path to your door. If we demonstrate to the public that we have children at the center of our decisions, their database decisions, the staff is committed, you have a leader who's committed, a long-term contract, a governing board that is making improvements every time they meet, I believe people will see that. And I've seen such a change in our audiences. They are attentive. They come. We've taught them about the MEEP test. We've told them about the leveling that takes place. We're creating that environment of learners. We're not just educating the children. We're responsible for educating the voters, the parents. So I do believe that that trend will diminish, we will stabilize, and in 3 years, I look to see us start to grow again. It's not that just Detroit is losing students, that the schools are losing students. The city is losing families. These are not children who are moving. They're parents who are moving for better job opportunities or housing opportunities, and they're taking their children with them. We're just the symptom. We are not the problem.
I've read that the way to stop the dropout rate is to stop absenteeism. How do we stop absenteeism?
Certainly stopping absenteeism is a way to staunch the dropout rate. But a gentleman who does demographics for the city informed one of our board members that 50 years ago, the dropout rate in Detroit Public Schools was close to 50 to 60%. So it goes back to the question you asked earlier. In a culture that believes, if I've got a good job in one of the blue collar plants, I'll do okay. I can live. That is a culture, and that does tie into the dropout rate. What we're trying to do currently, and that's why the district has made a decision to support the vendor schools that are there, where the last chance schools. These are young people who've been pushed out of the district, but they need a different type of school setting. We have to recognize that the traditional 8:30 to 3:30 setting isn't what works. Many of these young people have to have jobs to help their families, or they have other siblings they need to take. We have to create different types of paradigms for educating today's young person, and we're working on that. The Allied Health Program that gives college credit and medical training is one of the prime shining examples of that. The pilot licensing program that we have, those are examples of how Detroit is trying to change its school structure to meet the needs of today's young person and to help the absenteeism and the dropout rates.
Everybody in this area says we all want a better educational system. We can't be successful without it. What can someone in the city, Dr. Calloway, do, and what can someone in the suburbs do?
Well, I think that if we all look at the district as a haven for learning and young people and not as a vendor mart, we're not there to support this vendor or this contract, but to say that the schools are for children and that we're going to put that barrier around them and make that a sanctuary to make decisions for children. In the suburbs, I think that we work cooperatively on programs and ventures, and that there are many opportunities for that. And in the city, if we start to work the same way and not blame the schools for everything, but uplift our schools and start finding the positive. We have programs that the suburbs are asking us information about and how to share. If we could get that information out instead of a daily beatdown for the schools, I think that that would help the city and would help the suburbs, because as Detroit goes, so does Michigan. And we have to realize how we are tied together.
We're talking to Dr. Connie Calloway. And I'm Jack Crisula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Crisula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back with Dr. Connie Calloway. Doctor?
Yes, Jack.
Who's your hero?
Jesus is my hero and my parents, and they are friends of Jesus's.
What role has faith played in your life?
Faith has been everything to me. We walk by faith and not by sight. Jack, if I didn't have faith, I wouldn't be here. Just that simple. Every day it's renewed. It's just like the manna. Every day it's new faith.
When you were at the previous job, Normandy, Missouri school system, you had
a set of 12
standards. Are you going to bring those here? And could you talk about them?
Jack, the 12 standards I couldn't possibly bring here because this was a concerted effort of a four-day administrative and board team in Normandy. They didn't have the divisions that you have here in Detroit. They worked as a concerted group. And we had a three-day workshop conference where we sat down and said, the MEEP test or the MAP gives the minimum education requirements for children. What would we like for each student who graduates from Normandy to know that they have in their backpack of skills? Not the minimum. What should they have? And we came up with these 12 standards. And that was a group process. We're not quite there yet in Detroit. If, in fact, we were ready to go through this process, we would come up with what would we like to see every student who graduates from Detroit? What would be the skill set? MEEP gives us a minimum. What are the skill sets? And I would like to suggest that there are three or four here that we might be interested in Detroit. One is every student will speak and write in complete sentences. Whether or not we use complete sentences or we enforce teaching that in a child's home or schooling experience, in order for them to be successful in any type of employment experience that gives them gainful, meaningful income, they have to be able to write and speak in complete sentences. That would be a standard. Second, every student will write a monthly target paper. And that paper is on a topic, and there's going to be a common scoring rubric so that we don't have one school that's outstanding in a blue star school, and right around the corner down the block is another school that's not even meeting AYP standards. If we have a monthly topic and a common rubric throughout the district, everyone writes on these papers. One of the others is the students maintain a portfolio of their work with this graded scored rubric. So a child actually can see what a trademark paper should look like at third grade, what a standard paper should look like at fourth, fifth. If they maintain this portfolio, they are able to see the progression of their skills, also what's called the scaffolding of their skills. I might learn about prefixes, then I might learn about suffixes, then I might have previously learned about root words, so they can see how if I put these together, my knowledge increases by levels. Students receive a minimum of 5 hours per day of announcement-free instruction. Many of these announcements are for management's sake. We need you in the office or you've left your book. But we need to train students to have this concentrated work time because that's what affects a lot of our students on the standardized test, is they haven't had uninterrupted long periods of work time, and the MEEP test requires that. So we need to train them. And when they leave high school and they take an employment position, are they going to have 5 hours of focused time? Yes, they are. We believe this is necessary to put back into education to train our students to be successful. Students in grades 1 through 12 will be able to demonstrate and know the steps in the reading process, the steps in the writing process, math problem solving, scientific process, and different types of questions. What's interesting, it is so common across reading, math, and science, the steps in the process. Analyzing the problem, deciding what are the tools you need to solve the problem, making an educated guess at how that solution should be, testing it out, and observing the results. Those are the same basic steps in the writing process, in the math problem solving, and science. Those are conceptual steps that we want every child to know as they go into adulthood how to solve problems. You don't get angry. You don't quit. You don't get... What are the problems? These are conceptual maturational steps that are taught through content across all of these subjects. And then we want them to participate in a community project. They're required to do that to graduate in Normandy. Set number of hours per grade level because it teaches you that you are a part of a community, that you have an obligation to give back. And it also increases in you the sense of accountability. You have several programs here in Detroit that emphasize that. There's one that Penny Baylor is working on with young people. So that then becomes a partnership with the school and a requirement for graduation, that I'm giving something back to the community that has supported me through tax dollars and has nurtured me. Those would be the standards I would hope that we would look at as a district. Great leader?
What makes a great leader, Dr. Kellaway?
One who recognizes that they are a public servant.
How does a leader change the culture of his or her organization?
By your walk. People watch. I always say, people will see what you do so loudly they cannot hear what you say. It's by your walk, Jack, by the consistency of it, by the sincerity of it, and by your living that walk. And I believe that people are hungry in Detroit for a sincere, committed, and experienced leader, and that they are really willing and able to follow that walk. And I think that we're going to create many great leaders in Detroit who see themselves as public servants.
1 week ago on NBC, Meet the Press, Bill Cosby was the guest for the whole hour. As you listen to his message, what do you think?
Well, I didn't listen to his message, but I happen to think that Bill Cosby has done great work. First, in his shows, he insisted on espousing family values that were good values, irrespective of any type of gender, any type of ethnicity. He showed what a good family, teaching principles to their family, should look like. Then when he got out of that business, Bill Cosby took a lot of heat for saying, we have to be accountable for our communities. And I think he did a wonderful job. First of all, he had enough money. He was secure so he could say that and not suffer a loss that might be damaging to us. And then secondly, people listened to him. And I think that the timeliness of the unfortunate trials that his family went through showed that indeed he was real, and he still stuck by what he had to say. Bill Cosby is doing as much good with his message as with his show.
Last question, Dr. Kellaway. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Reach for the stars. If you don't make the stars, you'll make a moon. But you've got to go out, take that risk. Find what you're interested in. Devote yourself to it. Develop your spiritual life as well. And don't take no for an answer. Be productive. Have something to give back to your community.
Dr. Connie Kellaway, I've got more hope in my heart for this educational system an hour after listening to you.
Well, thank you. That's very kind, Jack.
You're the right person.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for all you do.
Absolutely.
Our guest next Sunday has had an amazing journey as well, that took her from the production line of a Kokomo, Indiana factory to the boardroom of Ford Motor Company, Kathleen Ligocki. Until then, I'm Jack Crisula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself. Like